like a week or something. You're very welcome.
Thank you, Adrian. And thank you so much for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
We need, and most of us over the past 14 months, you know, we kind of don't know whether we're kind of coming or going or what services are around, who, you know, who has kind of forgotten that we're here and so forth. None of that applies, and we should include, of course, the Irish Centre in Yonkers and the Emerald Isle Immigration Centre, but the New York Irish Centre, and we'll take some of the blame for it, has been providing and doing great things over the during this COVID pandemic. George, first of all, tell us, if you will, about the New York Irish Centre.
Well, thank you so much, Adrian. Good morning, and what a lovely, beautiful day in New York. So we're here today at New York Irish Centre. We're located 7 minutes on the 7, one stop from Grand Central. And today we actually are doing a spring cleaning day. So we have a bunch of volunteers from the community here with us. We have nearly 25 people on many levels paintbrushing here since 10 a.m. this morning. So our goal today is to completely paint the entire centre. So we have a great team here with us. And we were just an hour and a half into it at this point. So so we're already one coat down in the main room. So if there's anybody in the neighbourhood who wants to come join us, you're welcome here all day today.
You know, strictly for curiosity, do you have enough Dettol over there or Jay's fluid?
You know,
the stuff that usually that we grew up on, well, particularly in Limerick. God, you need the Jay's fluid. Anyway, sorry about that. Okay. But painting and you, if we go back, you know, the success of the New York Irish Centre was totally, can be given credit from volunteers, from those who, business people who were primarily there with a dollar, with not only with their money, but the carpentry, the whole, you know, from opening the door to what was a musty building to what is now a state-of-the-art center, and not just because I say it, you'd have to consider that that is. That was the volunteers who, over the last 15 years, contributed so much to the New York Irish Center. George, it's amazing. And well, so now, 14 months later, what's the story? What's it?
Well, here we are. Well, fortunately, the lovely thing about the New York Irish Centre is we did not close during the pandemic. In fact, you know, great things were achieved in the last year in terms of food drives, in terms of money raised for the disadvantaged in our community. And also, when I began here, we started planning new programs. We have done a lot of online programs, but I'm delighted to say that our first in-person event will be taking place next Thursday on May 27th. So we're actually starting an event, Speakeasy Jazz Session. And basically, there's a lot of incredible jazz musicians here in the neighborhood in Long Island City, and including the very famous Gene Bertoncini. And he's going to be a special guest on the 27th. So that event actually is already sold out, but we have another one coming on the calendar at the end of June as well. So, you know, one of the reasons we have chosen the jazz event is, you know, we have to be very mindful of COVID and the restrictions. And, you know, at the jazz session, there isn't a singer as such. You know, it's great, great jazz musicians and that sort of thing. You know, but we are following city and protocols, and all of our staff here now are certified COVID officers. And so when people enter the building, our aim is that, you know, safety is paramount as we begin to open the doors, you know. But we have done some great things online. We set up the New York Irish Choir. So the choir met online every Wednesday evening, and that will be meeting in person in the fall again. And so, yeah, we're slowly getting everything back open again, which is great, you know.
George, we know, of course, about the tremendous help, and again, with volunteers and the contribution you know, that the New York Irish Center, through thick and thin, the center has been there and has responded to just about every emergency, even before, if we go back before the pandemic, Hurricane Sandy, which we have still good reason to talk about since the devastation, you know, of the hurricane required immediate attention, and the New York Irish Center can hold its head up high in the response. We remember, we all remember that.
Yeah, the response was magnificent. That was where we created the shoebox appeal. So we gathered, it was, you know, Christmas immediately after Hurricane Sandy, as well as dropping goods out immediately to the site. But, and we still carry on the shoebox appeal, which happens every Christmas, where we deliver goods to disadvantaged communities and children in the Rockaways and beyond as well, you know. So that's a program that grew out of Hurricane Sandy and that obviously is still in existence, you know. Also coming up over the summer, we have our Children's Festival, our Tiernanog Children's Festival, which is on the August 9th, you know. But I think one of the one things, Adrian, I should keep mentioning is community and the people who built the New York Irish Center. Since I took over as executive director, you know, in the year prior to Hurricane Sandy, 42 organizations in 2019 used the building. And it's incredible to see the community that exists around the building. But as you say, the founders, Father Colin Campbell from Belfast and Mr. Paddy Riley, you know, the gentleman had the vision to purchase this wonderful building in a dream location in Long Island City. And, of course, the great community leaders. In the last 12 years, the center was led by Paul Finnegan and prior to that, Liz Kenny. And, of course, Colin Campbell as well. So, you know, coming in here, there's a great community, and that's what I really love about this building is that everyone is welcome, you know?
You know, you've mentioned there about the events that are coming up. We can hardly get our heads around that one. You know, there are events, and as we also this week, restaurants, indoor, outdoor, life is coming back. Now, about the cleanup for the spring cleanup for today, you know, again, the catering to, the aging community, you know, that's something that gets lost somewhere along the way. But, you know, as you've pointed out yourself on many occasions, you know, the elderly, it's not a one-way street. The elderly are in there. There are people one would imagine, you know, should be home saying the rosary, and they're in there at the height of, you know, of their health in there, pitching in, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
Incredible.
Yeah, incredible, you know. Yeah, I mean, you know, that's what, you know, we have a very active group here, active retirement group on a Wednesday, Adrian. You know, we have an incredible group of seniors who are around the organization, and they're involved in every aspect of the organization, you know. Mm-hmm. We recently launched, actually, a new haircut program for our senior program. So we now have two hairstylists who are on site here on specific Mondays over the year offering haircuts to our seniors. We also launched recently a Seniors Ireland's Own Readers Book Club, which is in partnership with Ireland's Own in Ireland, where all of our seniors every 2 weeks read a copy of Ireland's Own. And we also launched a podcast here called Centrepiece, which is produced and directed by Paul Finnegan. And that is where we are gathering oral histories from the senior members of our community. So they're all available at our website, newyorkirishcenter.org. And you can click on there. You'll see Centrepiece, the podcast. And there's incredible stories of our seniors and their journeys of coming to America in the 50s and the 60s and beyond, and also how my generation and the next generation have benefited from the great work of that community. They laid the foundations here for us in New York. So, you know, that when we arrived here, there was networks set up and there was organizations to support us and people to introduce us and become mentors for the next generation as well. So, you know, everybody's welcome here on Wednesday afternoons. We're hopefully to have that program back. We're hoping to hear from the Department of Aging in about 2 weeks. And everyone is welcome here in the communities where we offer free lunch on Wednesday, followed by music and card games. and that starts at 12:30 every Wednesday. But like I say, at the moment, that one is on pause. We're just waiting for City Protocols to give us permission to start that program once again.
You know, all of this sounds astounding. In the you just mentioned some things, car playing, you know, and you as the former director, founding director, you know, of Origin Theatre, you did such a great job at that. But music, art, everything to bring that into a new level. That's an accomplishment, and especially to do it in the height of the crisis. But you've done it, and there's a lot of plans. You know, tell us.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, when I began here working in October, you know, I'm very lucky that we have an extraordinary board of directors here led by Sean Mackin as our board chair. And we have one wonderful, we have 18 board members. And, you know, we're very much planning into the future in terms of how we, what we put out to the public in the next 12 months, how we take up the marketing of the organization. And also, you know, I'm very aware of, like, when we have a space here at Long Island City, it's so important that it's open to the community. So a lot of our counties associations are already meeting here again. You know, our Cavan Association have already had three meetings here. We have other events and private parties booking here as well, because a lot of people at the moment are, you know, reticent to have parties in their home environment, but they are, you know, coming here to the center to carry out celebrations here as well, you know. And then, you know, we want to build our theater program here as well. We have a playwright in development here in residence. So we very gratefully received a small grant from the Arts Council in Ireland. Mm-hmm. And we commissioned a playwright from Ireland, from Dublin, Anne Limerick, Paul Mead. And Paul is working with our senior community at the moment, where he's in the process of writing a play, which is called My Heart in Two Pockets. And that's a play that's going to be inspired by the journeys of the senior community, and that's in development at the moment. And that will get that will be finished. It will take a year to write the play with the seniors, and then that will get a full production here at the New York Irish Center, most likely in, you know, the fall of 2022. I also am very blessed that we have Stephen Long, who's our director of art and culture here, and Stephen is planning a very extensive program for the upcoming year. And Ryan McNally, originally from County Tyrone, is our director of senior programs. And he also is planning some travel events over the summer as well. So that we're hoping to do, you know, where possible, to get out of the building as well in the summer months. So we're looking at two or three trips to various locations around New York.
It's really astounding. Now, we should say that, you know, when you mention again the Irish government and an illustrious and most generous board of directors, none of whom are just on there for the hell of it, they are constantly fundraising, digging into their own pockets. But, you know, the money to run what you're running, you're talking about there, free lunches on Wednesday, and all this, all of the projects that you've taken on since becoming the director there, and restarting, revamping the, you know, New York Irish Center, you wouldn't turn down any money, small or otherwise. And I think I said, you know, sometimes many of us think, well, listen, you know, grant money and it's all there, and you know, I'm sure they're doing all right. You're not doing all right, and neither are any of the organizations that are providing all of these services. Yeah,
yeah.
Great that you have the grants, but that falls way short of the money that's needed.
Well, you know, I mean, the truth is, Adrian, I think every organization at the moment after the year we had are suffering, you know. So we are very grateful to the Irish government and the Irish Council here. We're very fortunate to work very closely with Kieran Madden, our Consul General, and the centre does receive money from the Irish government through the Emigrant Services Programme. And we are fortunate as well to receive wonderful money from New York City Council, from Jimmy Van Bramer, from Councillor Holden and Councillor Danny Drum as well. So it's very important that we have those relationships. And of course, we are going into election season and we're going to have a new council here in New York City. So we're hoping that the new council will continue to support us in the same fashion as they have done in the last number of years. We are looking at doing a gala here at the centre. The centre is celebrating its 15th anniversary, and we are planning a gala here in the building, actually, and we're looking at, we'll be announcing the date soon in September. So that will be an on-site gala to raise, you know, much-needed funds for the centre so we can continue on our programming into the future, you know. So, yes, all donations are greatly appreciated, and we are a not-for-profit organisation. And, of course, people can donate to our website at newyorkirishcentre.org.
That's newyorkirishcentre.org. And again, it's great. Now, when you say that 7 minutes on the number seven, that's the number seven train from the city, that is terrific. But also, it's a great area if you're driving, because you've got a lot of street parking and it's great. No,
it is great. And, you know, I mean, that's a credit to the founders, once again, that they had the vision to see that this neighborhood, Long Island City, and, you know, we're literally 20 feet from the subway here. I mean, it's a dream location, yeah. Particularly, like, we have the new park down by the water now where sometimes we go for some afternoon programs as well. We're working with a fitness organization at the moment called Clan Health. We've had them in the building all winter long, actually doing private sessions in fitness. And, you know, that program takes place in the park now every morning, actually. But it is an incredible location. There's no doubt about it, you know. And also now we have a whole slew of new bars and restaurants within, like, 2 minute walk of our of the building. And I hear we have a Whole Foods going up around the corner. So, you know, when Whole Foods move in, Starbucks are probably much behind.
Yeah.
But the building and the community around it are thriving. There's no doubt about that.
Also, can you tell us about your housing? An extremely important, service for the prevention of suicide in Solace House. Again, it's not smack in the middle. Some people think, well, you know, that might be a bit too close to the bone for those who are suffering from depression. A separate entrance, a service for those who, again, are, brought on by grief, and those who have been dealing on top of everything else with the uncertainty of where they're left with, COVID and job loss and everything. That is something really, really very important. Of course, they're also in Yonkers. But just give us, if you will,
So Solace House have been based here since their founding in America. So in Ireland, obviously, the organization is called Pieta House, but the separate organization that was inspired by Pieta House and is called Solace House. And Solace House is based here at New York Irish Center. It's free. All of their services are free to any member of any community. Every nationality, the doors are open to absolutely anybody. And it's free therapy and counseling. So they have many, many wonderful qualified therapists. Everything is done in strict confidentiality, as you say.
Yeah.
They have some rooms here at the New York Irish Center on our third floor. And they're actually expanding their services as well. They're about to renovate another space here at the New York Irish Center. And a lot of the programs are online at the moment as well. So they are very, very busy. They are very much open for business and provide solace. And next week, actually, they have a very important fundraiser. They do an annual walk here in New York. And all the details can be found on their website for their annual walk. And, of course, that organization is run by the wonderful Rebecca Stead. Your executive director.
You had mentioned there about the significance, the importance of the New York City Council, and we indeed know that there's somebody running there for a new council seat, Denise Keehan-Smith, and don't know much about her, but we do know she's very supportive of all things Irish.
Yeah, and of course, we're very lucky. You know, the centre here, Adrian, is open to. We actually are a polling station as well. The New York Irish Centre is one of the main polling stations here in Long Island City for all elections. But no, absolutely, the centre is open to all, anybody running for any political party. The centre is always here for their use.
Yeah.
We're very grateful to work with all of the local district politicians, you know, and each of them have a very unique vision, and we're happy to welcome them all at the centre.
Yeah, and not just for your area, you know.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. Let me, you know, just come back again to what your invitation includes. Who can go? Are there geographical boundaries? Just who gets the falcha in the New York Irish Center?
Well, the falcha, of course, is the falcha is here. We have three strands for our mission: community, culture, and care. So we're building our community, caring about our culture, and sharing it with all of the community. So, you know, we obviously serve the great community of Sunnyside and Woodside, Mascot, Jackson Heights, and beyond, and, of course, Long Island City. But everybody is welcome. Anybody who likes Ireland or is from Ireland or would like to learn more about Ireland, we definitely have a program for everyone. You know, we have a Jiggy Tots dance class on a Monday with Patricia and McManus, which is aimed at three-year-olds, to our senior events on Wednesdays. You know, we will be launching documentary series and film series coming into the fall, etc., and launching a book club, actually, as well. And we're looking at also maybe launching some walking tours in the neighborhood. You know, we're working with some local historians to create some walking tours for the neighborhood as well.
It's terrific. It has been and has a great history. And, again, for once we, you know, point out that it has never been closed and provided some very rare services during this the COVID, and oh my God, it's terrific. Give us the website, because honestly, I think I was listening to you rattling off there the great number of services, the Irish kind of mehel, you know, the gathering of everybody to just you know, to help others. And likewise, in turn, those who are, you know, lucky enough and have been contributors their entire lives to all causes, that they're still in the mix, and that you have done an incredible job is something we're very proud of.
Well, thank you, Adrian. It's just beginning. You know, I'm just building on the great work that Paul Finnegan created on the extensive great programs and also the incredible fundraising came through the community to secure this building and pay off its mortgage.
Absolutely.
And that is a credit to the leaders and the community and everyone in the community who donated time and services over the last number of years. So I really feel we're in a wonderful crossroads here now at the Irish Centre to celebrate all of those achievements in the upcoming year. And like I say, people can keep in touch with us through our website, newyorkirishcentre.org. And do check out our programming over the summer. We have programming for children, adults, music, and, of course, our gala in September.
Wow. Thanks, George. And I know that, you know, all associations with the home county are very special to us. And, you know, I did go out of my way you know, to pick some Limerick tunes there, My Beauty of Limerick and everything. You think anybody would bother acknowledging that? No. But our mutual friend, Maeve O'Malley, sent a snotty note, you know, saying, "What happened to Limerick, your lady?" Excuse me, you know, we're sick and tired of playing that, but we'll do it one more time for you and, you know, and Limerick people, and among other things, it'll get Maeve off our backs. Okay, well, God bless.
I'd like to dedicate it to my friend Maeve O'Malley as well, actually. Maeve has gone through a very challenging year, and Maeve is an incredible member of our community, and I would like to dedicate Limerick Your Lady to Maeve. Thank you, Maeve, for all you've done.
Thank you. And that's from the two of us. As a matter of fact, Anya wants to be in on that because, you know, she could be back next week complaining about something else. So this should keep her going now for at least a month or two.
Keep her going between golf games, Adrian.
Yeah. And, you know, she's not. She has to win every game.
She's from Limerick, Adrian. We're good at that.
Ah, you are indeed. Thanks, George.
Thank you so much, Adrian and Anya. Lots of love. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Great song. Raphael, the singer.
It is that time is made to travelers on their way, seeking out the beauty of our land. A shrine where children pray, and the bells ring out to say, thank God for living just to see the freedom of we share.
They're a great singer from a group called Aaron's Pride. And